SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. A Thursday where the madness returns. A Thursday where the round of 16, that is very, very sweet, begins on this Thursday evening with four games in action as the NCAA men's tournament resumes. And a Thursday where baseball begins in full. It is officially Major League Baseball opening day for the 2025 campaign. And who better to get you set for everything you need to know than that guy right there, one of the hosts of Pro Baseball Today, Donnie Wrightside. We will preview all 14 games that we have in action around MLB today. We'll look at the season as a whole, big picture outlook, who is going to be standing at the end of 162 in a month of October. So much to get into here, DRS, as we go all the way up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
We're going to shine today over the next 3 hours. And here's what I love. All aces on the mounds in Major League Baseball today throughout that afternoon slate. All power fives on the court tonight. No Cinderellas, no JMUs, no nothing out there. No Drakes. Let's get down to business. Let's have some fun. Let the best players in the country get it on. And I cannot wait to watch. But you know what I can wait for? Hey, New Jersey, can we get the governor here to just sit there today and say, I'm going to sign legislature in New Jersey that everybody can bet the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight just for this weekend here. Can we make that happen? Can I be commissioner? Can I put the press on New Jersey to do the right thing here tonight and let New Jerseyans bask in the glory of these fantastic games in Newark?
Those tricky and stringy state regulations to bet on collegiate athletics, trying to uphold the allure of amateurism that is so far gone, it is not even worth discussing. But DRS, as a native of regional Philadelphia, go drive across to Delaware and you're good.
Come on now. Am I just going to waste that time and go over there and place wagers? Then I want to get down and say, you know what? I got the perfect hedge opportunity. Nah, it's a little bit long. It's like 20 minutes, 25 minutes point now. And then you're throwing in traffic on top of it. Stop the madness at this point. Nick, can somebody lend me a VPN out there where I can bet on your line? Can I ask that over the air and have maybe some people respond back to me? How about that?
I don't disavow, by the way, for our lovely FanDuel Sportsbook.
Come on now.
Donnie Wrightside just said. Let's not worry about DRS, the VPN. Let's worry about DRS, the host of PBT. That is Pro Baseball Today. As Major League Baseball begins in full on this opening day, 28 of 30 clubs in action, 14 of what would be a fully robust 15-game slate as we wait for the Rays and the Rockies on a Friday to begin their 2025 campaign. But DRS, we have so many games in the afternoon hours. First pitch around 3 p.m. Eastern time. Major League Baseball in 2025 is officially here.
It is, and I'm excited for it here. It's just nice to see some of those old websites that you used all last year, getting back involved, seeing the starting lineups, going over the numbers, home run props, total bases props, RBI props. It's all fantastic. However, understand this, people. The sweet spot is not March and April. The sweet spot opens up sometime around mid-May, all the way through that all-star break where all the numbers are there for a great season to be had. We will be involved today, no doubt about it. But for me, it's more of let's lay some wagers, see how they play out. And we should be profitable in April, but I'm just excited that opening day is here.
We have 11 games that get underway before we even get into the evening hours when the Sweet 16 will begin. First pitch of 2025's full opening day, of course, the season has officially started in Tokyo, is scheduled for 3:06 p.m. Eastern time up in the Bronx inside Yankee Stadium where Carlos Rodon will be on the bump for the pinstripes. DRS, let's go around the association on a busy Wednesday evening and a busy Wednesday in total for LeBron James, appearing on the Pat McAfee Show, formerly of the Sports Grid Network, now as a part of ESPN. LeBron was slandering and everybody, talking about his feuds with ESPN talent, announced his podcast returning, and then capped it off with a game winner in Indianapolis, a tip-in at the buzzer that barely beats the clock as the Lakers barely beat the Pacers 120-119 to snap a small three-game slide for L.A.
And the people in Chicago will probably love that as the Lakers are on another back-to-back, and probably LeBron and or Doncic will sit that game out. Congratulations, NBA. It's fantastic what you do. But a big-time win for the Lakers, who had to stop the bleeding against a team in the Pacers. That's pretty good here. And by the way, Haliburton had 18 assists last night in a losing effort. And if you watch the highlights, he was dumbfounded at the end of the game looking at the scoreboard. How did we lose this game? Big-time win for the Lakers on the road.
34 points for Luka Doncic, fourth in consecutive game with 30-plus, but LeBron James the hero at the very end. The Boston Celtics continue to win, make it seven consecutive victories for the Seas as they absolutely hammer the Phoenix Suns, winning by 30, 132-102, despite not having Jason Tatum and easily covering as a road favorite, snapping what was the Suns' longest win streak since November at four straight games.
Yeah, Kevin Durant's still having a pretty good season here at his age, and certainly we're in anticipation in the offseason that team is going to separate, which means Durant will be out on the open market looking for another team. But credit the Boston Celtics without Tatum on the road against a decent opponent in the Suns, winning by 30? Yeah, that's Suns basketball, and that's Celtics basketball in a microcosm in one game here. Stop it, Suns. It's all fake. Everything's fake right now for you. You got hammered.
Yeah, that four game win streak does come to a close. The Los Angeles Clippers, a big night from everybody. Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Ivica Zubac, and of course Donnie's guy, Big Will, Norman Powell, as the Clippers pick up a huge, huge victory on the road inside Madison Square Garden, 126-113. The Clips were a road favorite of 4.5 points. They do cover.
I would like to see, like, the overall total, Ben, and, like, the last 20 years on, like, back-to-backs in the NBA. Like, a league that just has so many back-to-backs and puts so many teams at a disadvantage on a night-to-night basis, it's a wild league. But the Clippers, I expected to win that game because of that, and they did. Clippers, man, one of those teams, again, get ready for the playoffs. Yep. They got star power. Let's see what they can do.
That game last night, the New York Knicks with a victory would have clinched a playoff spot, leading by as many as 14 points in the opening half. A big comeback for the Clips in attendance inside the world's most famous arena. The newest New York Giants quarterback in Russell Wilson, who was talking about his new team with the G-men and said, DRS, yeah, I expect to be the starting quarterback.
Of course he expects to be the starting quarterback. That's what he was signed for, but I don't know anybody outside of the organization that actually wants him to be the starting quarterback, because the Giants, what are you doing out here in these streets? Ay.
Donnie's NFC East team, the New York Giants, his first bet
they
for
are
2025
now.
Over 3.5 wins. He is hoping for just
four.
The Minnesota Vikings and their GM, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, talking about the future of the quarterback position in Minneapolis. Quote, they want J.J. McCarthy to be their quarterback number one. Wouldn't completely rule out Aaron Rodgers or some other veteran options.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm at the point now where I just want them to come out and display. We drafted this kid. He sucks. We don't want him to be the starting quarterback. Who treats a top 10 draft pick where the path is clear to be your starting quarterback and just doesn't anoint the kid to give him all the confidence in the world and is basically dangling a carrot in front of his face? What are the Vikings doing? I have no idea. Let the kid eat. Tell him he's your starter. Act accordingly.
The outcome we want, quote, the outcome we're headed towards, quote. Interesting wording. The Boston Red Sox will DH Rafi Devers. Alex Bregman will start at third base. There was some drama early in the spring. We'll talk more MLB later on. NBA action up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line, live right here on this Thursday morning on the Sports Grid Network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. What a busy Wednesday it was for LeBron James in Indianapolis. Media appearances, sitting down with the Pat McAfee Show, formerly of the Sports Grid Network, and then, of course, a basketball game in Indy against the Pacers. And the Lakers not playing their best ball as the end of the regular season looms in just about 2.5 weeks. So time to snap a three-game slide. get back to good basketball, make that playoff push. LeBron James helping in doing that to cap off, again, a busy and dramatic day. But we can't get more dramatic than winning at the very end. A buzzer-beating tip-in for LeBron. The Lakers down by 119-118 in the final few seconds. Luka Doncic drives the lane, tries a floater, does not go in. But LeBron is there. Ball out of his hand on the tip with about 0.2 of a second left. It is good. The Lakers win it at the buzzer, courtesy of LeBron James. 120-119. The late show was a 1.5-point road favorite, so the Pacers do cover if you looked at it that way. But the Lakers get a big victory, DRS, 120-119 to snap that 3-game skid.
They did, and LeBron only had 13 points in that game through 38 minutes. We'll see if he plays on a back-to-back tonight against the Chicago Bulls. Same thing with Luka Doncic. 38 minutes in that victory, needed every minute. He scores 34 points, but was actually a minus 16 with his plus-minus on the court. Now, outside the court, I got to tell you, the NBA, man, it really gets a chuckle out of me. Nobody cares about the regular season, players included, fading fast, not a lot of interest here. But you know what I do get a kick out of the NBA, which you don't see in other leagues? Like TNT, who broadcast with the Inside the NBA crew, they can't stand the NBA and they cover the NBA. And now you have LeBron James picking on ESPN like, this entire organization is whack, including the guys that follow me. It's an unbelievable dynamic that the NBA has where these players get paid a ton of money, the networks are playing a ton of money, and everybody hates their product from the broadcast perspective and the on-court perspective, and yet every year the salary cap goes up. What a dynamic for the NBA.
A lot of it is off-court drama that gets a ton of attention around the association, and I guess that's what we saw. But in terms of the result, 13 points for LeBron, it felt as though his 10-point game win streak, or at least streak, was coming to a close. He does clear that with a buzzer beater. Indiana entered last night 14-14 straight up, outright as an underdog. One of five teams in the NBA at 500 or better outright as an underdog this year. That does trickle under that number, but DRS, they did cover as a 1.5 favorite. The Lakers now over in three straight. Last night's total, 236.5. Not a great plus minus for Doncic, as you alluded to, but four consecutive games now for Luka Doncic scoring at least 30 points as he started in the purple and gold. It was slow starts from the scoring output. Now he is back to the Luka Doncic we all expect. Elsewhere, DRS, the Boston Celtics continue their win streak, even without Jason Tatum. So as one win streak continues for the Celtics, make it 7 in a row, another one comes to a close for the Phoenix Suns. That 4-game win streak for Phoenix ends last night with a 30-point win for Boston on the road in the Valley. 132-102, the Celtics easily cover as a 6-point road favorite.
It's incredible. Like, you take a look at baseball, and they used to call the Dodgers, team launch angle. All they do is swing for home runs. That's what they're taught, and the analytics provide that. You take a look at the Boston Celtics to the nth degree now with, we're only taking three-point shots as it figures. 52 three-point shots last night, 22 three-point shots made. If you're using those type of analytics and can shoot over 40% with extreme volume, good luck beating you. Like, that is a talented team that's not surprising people from the three-point line, but just using that, like the bomb squad that comes off the bench with Sam Howell and Peyton Pritchard, where they're just unlimited three-point shots and have the unreal green light every time they get the basketball. Did we anticipate a 30-point win without Jason Tatum? No. Were the Phoenix Suns playing better basketball? Absolutely yes. But this is a view of the Boston Celtics when things go right. I don't know how you stop the Celtics here, which is what everybody's looking forward to once you get to the playoffs. Will those 50-plus three-point shots in the playoffs still translate like they do in the regular season? We'll find out.
And Boston is playing great basketball right now, DRS. Winners of 7 in a row. They haven't been as prolific all year long like the Cleveland Cavaliers, maybe like we expected for the Seas, but they have cut the gap to only 4.5 games for that top spot in the Eastern Conference. Again, a lot has to happen for the Celtics down this home stretch to end out the regular season. They've already played 73 games. They only have 9 more. To make up a 4.5 game deficit takes a lot. But Boston is looking like the team we expected to be the NBA championship favorites as the reigning NBA title winners all year long. Winning by 30 without Jason Tatum because of 30 points from Kristaps Porzingis to match the 30-point effort of Kevin Durant. For the Suns, DRS, entering yesterday, four-game win streak, the longest for Phoenix since early November. Because they are playing better basketball, they currently have the fourth and final spot in the play-in tournament. Same record, 35-38, as that of the Dallas Mavericks, but the slight tiebreaker advantages in favor of Phoenix. They might be a play-in tourney team. I don't know if you ask Kevin Durant transparently right now, hey, do you want to win two play-in games to even get to the postseason in the Western Conference? If he would truly say, I would rather just start my summer a little bit earlier. That's kind of what it feels like for Phoenix, despite winning four games in a row entering last night.
Exactly. Like, you know, virtual tie, let's just say, with the Kings, and then virtual tie with the Mavericks, in or out as you go. You know you're not going deep into the playoffs here. Maybe you want to show up in the playoffs and say, you know what, it wasn't my fault. We won the play-in round, just got dusted by, let's just say, the Oklahoma City Thunder once we actually got in the playoffs. But you're right. This team is destined for a breakout. It'll be interesting to see where some of these superstars do head out. Yeah. But the one thing we can all agree on at the start of the season, you know, you're building a team with a new ownership group, with superstar power, building a big three. This was an epic failure. So for the next team, trying to build an aging big three, if you will, stay away. Get the young talent in there, ride it out that way, because the Phoenix Suns were one of those tests that really failed.
2 weeks from Sunday, the regular season comes to a close. Basically, every team around the NBA, 9 or 10 games remaining. DRS, what we have to figure out in the Western Conference is the play-in tourney spots. We've got three teams right now, Kings, Suns, Mavs, from 9 through 11 in the standings list, separated by a half game. Then we also have three teams in the other areas of the play-in tournament, the Clippers, the Warriors, the T-Wolves, separated by a half game as well, 6 through 8. A lot to be figured out west. We'll talk more NBA up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A six-game slate around the association from a Wednesday night to break down for you here on this Thursday morning, and then we're done. And then we get ready for the Sweet 16 and the return of the madness tonight in the 2025 men's NCAA tournament. And, of course, Major League Baseball's opening day. DRS, last night inside the world's most famous arena, the LA Clippers down by as many as 14 points in the opening half against the New York Knicks, come all the way back to knock off New York and keep the Knicks, at least for a moment, from clinching a playoff spot. The Clippers win by 13, 126-113. They cover as a 4.5-point favorite inside MSG, snapping a short two-game win streak for New York. And again, keeping the Knickerbockers from a playoff spot, at least at this moment.
Taking a look at this game, right, inside the Garden. Advantage to the Clippers, rested and ready. But it feels like, Ben, like today, like the world is healing. Like, baseball's back in our lives, an unbelievable Sweet 16 slate. And you take a look at the Clippers, and I go right down and say, three-point shots made. Kawhi, 2. Zubac, none. Harden, 6, which is great. Chris Dunn, 1 of 5. Norm Powell, 4 of 5. I mean, that's all you need to see. When my guy gets out on that court and he's electric from the three-point line, there is no stopping the Clippers, and that was the case last night. And also, we just talked about the Boston Celtics launching 50-plus triples and making 40% of those. How about the efficiency of the Clippers, Ben? 16 of 30 from the three-point line, 53% as a team on the road, 51% shooting as a team overall, and 83% from the free throw line. That's a great game by the Clippers and a double-digit victory in the most famous arena in all of the world. Loved what I saw out of the Clippers last night, and it was expected.
Russell Wilson there as well inside MSG.
Another L for New York. Yeah, starting already.
I mean, maybe so, but not for Donnie Wright's side. Where's the total at now, DRS? That win total.
Can we get it to 6.5, 7.5?
Maybe so.
Maybe one of the biggest options. Yeah. Do we start now analyzing if we need to actually get involved on the other side and take that middle that we have now? That's the question that we have to start asking now. It's too juicy. It is.
I bet the under 5.5 in a second. Maybe I'll go back to the window and take that thing down. The New York Knicks have now lost 7 of their last 10, still playing without Jalen Brunson. DRS, the Knicks are also now 4-9. Against the spread as an underdog. I think that's important to highlight because New York is going to be a dog often in the playoffs, at least to get to the stage that everybody hopes. Eastern Conference semifinals, ECF as well. They have not been good as an underdog this year. Of course, they have not been great against the best of the best, either in the Eastern Conference or out West. The Clippers had a five-game win streak snapped on Sunday by OKC. But, Donnie, they have now won 9 of their last 10. L.A. playing better basketball as well. And when you get those performances last night, out of Kawhi, out of Harden, out of Big Willie in Madison Square Garden, this Clippers team now in the sixth spot by a half game in the Western Conference standings.
Yeah, it's one of those teams that can surprise. Like, we're all, it's not to say we're getting bored, right? Like, oh, it's going to be Cleveland. It's going to be, you know, in the East along with Boston and or OKC out West. And you say, well, the Denver Nuggets will factor in superstar power in LA. I get that. But I figure the other team in Los Angeles doesn't get enough hype where if they are right, which means healthy by the times the playoffs start, that's a really good starting five with star power, defensive capabilities. And as you saw last night in the Garden, the ability to make the 3-point shot and make it above 40%, which they shot 50% last night in the Garden. That's one of the teams where if I was going to pick a dark horse in the NBA to win an NBA championship or get to the final, it's probably the Clippers for me.
41-31 DRS, same exact mark as that of Golden State, but the Clippers slightly in front of the Warriors. Going to be a great battle to get out of the play-in tournament into the immediate playoffs or have to be that play-in tourney team hosting the 7-8 matchup. Nikola Jokic back on the floor for the first time in about a week and a half last night for the Denver Nuggets, and it went very, very well for Denver. The Nugs win by double digits. Technically, they were a 10.5-point favorite at close, as the Bucks are going to be a hefty dog here as of late. And Nikola Jokic returned in flying colors. 39 points, 10 boards, 10 dimes, yet another triple-double for the Joker, nearly a 40-point triple-double at that.
One of the tough games to handicap in the morning where Antetokounmpo was going to play, he sits that one out. Jokic was not going to play. He plays in that game and then drops a 39-point triple-double with an easy victory. Now, if you waited all the way out and got the best of the line, congratulations, you won. But I'm sure most people, once they saw that line on the move where Jokic was going to play and at the same time you weren't going to see Giannis Antetokounmpo, you probably got in at the 4.5s, the 5.5s, the 6.5s, the 7.5s, the 8.5s, and the 9.5s and cashed in that ticket. Just the NBA on a night-to-night basis, man. Good luck. Flip that coin. Maybe you'll get it right.
Some spots closing at 11.5. The Nuggets do win, but they have only covered once in their 12 games as a favorite since the All-Star break. We're on the early line. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
After only 3 days off, but it feels like an eternity, the 2025 men's NCAA tournament returns on this Thursday. A quadruple header of action in two spots as the Sweet 16 begins. We embark on the second weekend. The goal is to survive and advance. The goal is to keep on dancing. And that's what we have on this Thursday evening. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Out in the West region in San Francisco, we've got two games. In the East region in Newark, New Jersey, much to the chagrin of DRS, we've got two games as well. In DRS, we've got 2-1 seeds in action on this Sweet 16 Thursday, as we will see it. And both of those teams enter the second weekend as the favorites to win a national championship. We start big picture, then we break down the matchups. The Duke Blue Devils, the shortest price we have seen on John Shire's crew all year long, all tournament long as well. Now plus 220, nearly $2 clear DRS of the Florida Gators at plus 410. Florida's price before the dance got started, plus 360. Auburn's number on Monday at the end of the round of 32 and the opening weekend of the big dance was plus 550. But the Tigers in Atlanta looked at a little bit more favorably, perhaps, in the last 48 to 72 hours. In the other one seed, Houston, in the Midwest region, but not necessarily with a favorable home floor advantage, a 5-1 price on the Cougs. Donnie, still the same story, though. All 4-1 seeds, 5-1 price or better, and a pretty large drop-off until you get to anybody on the two line or deeper into the dance.
Like, I got to tell you, like, again, when we talk about, like, the underdogs and the Sweet 16s invading there with the glass slipper and the Cinderella stories, we don't have that here, which I think is fantastic. It's all Power Fives. And you go up and down that list. And, yes, we talked about before the tournament started, Ben and I, saying, you know what? This could be the best overall four seeds that we've ever seen in the tournament. And they're proving their worth right now. Duke, Florida, Auburn, and Houston. But understand this. As you start to slide down there and say, you don't think Alabama could win this? Or Tennessee? Or Texas Tech gets hot? Or Tom Izzo, Michigan State? And then you get even farther down and say, Michigan is an 80-1, a team that won the Big Ten Conference tourney at the end of the season and is playing good basketball right now. Ole Miss, in one of the deepest SECs in the history of their sport, had an 80-1 price. Heck, even Coach Cal, a top 20 team to enter into the season, is 110-1. But you don't look at that and say, that's ridiculous. That team is so underwhelming. They have superstars left and right on that team. So when I look at value down the board, it really is there. Would anybody be surprised if the Crab 5 goes on a run right now at 31-1 to turn that ticket into profitability? But at the same time, we're looking towards the top teams like Duke, Florida, Auburn, and Houston, understanding this. It's not a 3, 5, or 7 game series. You play one game. You don't bring your A game, you will get beat. That includes the top four seeds. So I love the value outside of the top four.
Sure.
Not saying they're going to win a championship, but I'm not going to be shocked if one of those teams outside the ones make a run at a 20-1 or better price. It's out there.
And there is so much value because of how short the numbers are on the number one seeds. And again, it is justified. These are the best one seeds we have ever seen in the last 20 years in the men's NCAA tournament. In fact, 14 of the 16 teams that have reached this second weekend ranked in the KenPom top 25 prior to the big dance. Just the fifth time in the last 10 years we have seen more than 12 teams be inside the top 25 and get to the Sweet 16 in those pre-NCAA tournament ratings. And Donnie, part of the storyline is what we are seeing unfold here into the second weekend. What did we talk about after Selection Sunday? What did we talk about when the bracket was unveiled? A record 14 teams out of the SEC, the most bids for any conference in a single NCAA tournament. Well, the SEC, at least the teams that were more so in the bottom half of those standings, did struggle, but they are sending 7 teams to the second weekend. That is a record. The most teams we have ever seen from one league into the Sweet 16. We also talked about the strength of the one seeds. They're all here as well, still a 5-1 price or better to win a national championship. And Donnie, it's not just what you could look at from these national title odds, but of course, because all of these one seeds are going to be a short favorite to win their region this weekend, 2 games, victory in the Sweet 16, victory in the Elite 8 to get to a Final Four, you're going to be able to find some value in those Final Four numbers as well.
Absolutely you are, and that's the main goal here, because again, you can still if you still think Duke's going to win, I picked them in my bracket. I still think they're the best overall team, yes, but understand this, as we keep pointing out, like, the cream usually rises to the top over the entire length of a season or a long playoff series. That's not the case, and we're talking about, again, Power 5 teams. It's not like, you know, as I talked about James Madison or a McNeese State finding their way in, or a Drake, like, hey, they got to play the perfect game and slow it down to win. That's not the case. Like, Michigan State doesn't have to play a perfect game to knock off a top seed here. Neither does Alabama at a 16-1 price, who's going toe-to-toe in the SEC with the best teams there. So that's the excitement overall. And also, as Ben talks about, some of these longer numbers here, you just have to win one of these games in a slight upset, and away you turn that ticket from a 26-1 in Michigan State to a 15-1, to a 9-1, to a 7-1 with the cash-out values that will entail after that. So I get excited looking at this. And again, the only thing that's not exciting is the fact that these Elite Eight and Sweet 16 games in New Jersey, featuring some of the best teams and the funnest teams to bet in college basketball, that I won't be able to partake in. But at the same time, I'm saying myself, hey, can Arizona at 41-1 knock off Duke and just play well? And Caleb Love goes, hey, man, guys, get on my back. I've done this before in big spots against Duke. That's the fun part about this tournament, how it lines up. And understanding this, they're not professional athletes. Yes, they get paid. There's still 18, 19, 20-year-old kids here on the biggest stage in the biggest spotlight, understanding if we don't play well tonight, we are going home. And that's a lot of that burden to bear there, where you might see some upsets now.
Tonight, it starts in the East region at The Rock. the Prudential Center in downtown Newark, New Jersey. Our first game is the two seed in the East region in Alabama against the six seed in BYU. Points aplenty. Offense expected tonight in the Garden State. The second game is Duke as a 9.5-point favorite against Arizona. In the West region out in San Francisco, first game of the night features the one seed. That is Florida against Maryland, who is basically playing with a lame duck head coach. Not that he's going to get fired, but Kevin Willard, the egotistical tool, leading his team to a Sweet 16 for the first time since 2016. The first of his career, by the way, is probably heading to Villanova by the time tonight's game goes final, if the odds makers are correct and the Gators do win as a 6.5-point favorite. Nightcap out by the bay in San Francisco. A great matchup in that West region. And the only double-digit seed to get to the second weekend is led by a guy who has done a lot in college hoops. That is John Calipari. Arkansas, a 5.5-point dog against Texas Tech. The Red Raiders, the 3 seed out in the West region. And Donnie, of course, we know the team race for a national championship. But, of course, most outstanding player in the individual race as well. Again, most outstanding player does not really have much to do with your performances in the opening weekend or even this weekend in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. From a narrative perspective, sure, from playing your best basketball and carrying it over a week, yeah, but you are judged on your performances if your team reaches the Final Four and what you do in those two games, including a national title tilt. The favorite still for the national championship favorites. Duke at a +220 price. Cooper Flag at +260. Only 40 cents of difference, DRS, in terms of the Blue Devils' price to cut down the nets a week from Monday in Cooper Flag's number to win MOP.
Yeah, maybe the most dangerous market out there is the MOP because of the human element that creeps in. Oh, he was great during the regular season. Well, that doesn't matter. Somebody's going to vote that way. He was awesome in the first three rounds. Yeah, that's fantastic. That doesn't count here. Oh, he was tremendous to get him. That doesn't matter either. Oh, wait a second. Flag was decent in the first game. Okay, in the championship game. Knipple went off, but Flag's a bit. Stay away from that. There's nothing worse than you taking Cooper Flag at a +260 price when you could have +220 on Duke. They cut down the nets, and Knipple gets the MOP. And you lost money on that. Don't do that to yourself. Please don't. It's a tough market. Stay away.
The bet on Cooper Flag is not the right one. There's 40 cents of difference. Just bet Duke to win a national championship if you have waited this long. If you want a Tyrese Proctor or a Con Knipple on a small sprinkle, that's where you should look for value. Let's preview the game in the East region next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get you ready for the second weekend of the 2025 Big Dance. The Sweet 16 tips tonight on a Thursday with a quadruple header of action. In the East region, games will be played inside the Rock in Newark, New Jersey. In the West region, at the home of the Golden State Warriors out in San Francisco at the Chase Center. We start with our East region breakdown, where the number one seed in this portion of the bracket is the national championship favorite, which has been the case since before the NCAA tournament and remains that way entering the second weekend. That is the Duke Blue Devils. They play in the nightcap. We'll talk about that in just a moment. DRS, first game of the night, maybe between two of your favorite teams, at least stylistically, to bet on in college basketball. Beautiful. I don't mean to rub that in, as we know that you are in New Jersey, and because of silly state regulations, you are not able to bet on this game, despite the fact it does not feature a school from the great Garden State. Again, that is unfortunate. We can still break it down. That is Alabama and BYU, the two seed in the East region, facing the six seed in the Cougars out of the Big 12. 5.5-point spread in favor of the Tide, DRS, but really every eyeball should pay attention to that very big number in the middle. 175.5. Offense expected, DRS. What do we need to have a clean ride to even approach that total tonight in the Rock?
One of the best handicap games, I believe, in this entire Sweet 16 matchup is BYU versus Alabama. And it's going to be very aesthetically pleasing because you know me. I love the three-point shot. I love teams that get up and down the court. Both of these teams do that, and it should be fantastic to watch it play out. Some people look at that 175.5 and say, okay, neutral court, new site here, a couple days to prepare. Other teams' defenses will get your offensive sets here. And you just need a little bit of a slow start in this game to hit the 175.5. I won't be betting the total in this one, but I do think there is a decisive side. This game opened up here at the FanDuel Sportsbook at -4.5, now up to 5.5, and I agree with that line movement because it comes down to two things. These offenses are really good, Ben, as you know. Top 10 in efficiency in the country. Alabama 4, BYU number 9. The differences start to come in on defense, where Alabama is a much better defensive footprint than BYU. But understand what BYU likes to do. Shoot the three-point shot, shoot it with volume, and make it with volume. One team in Alabama will chase you off the three-point line and defend the three-point line, which is key. Because when you set up Alabama's offense on their side, they're a wonderful offense. They love to shoot the three-point shot, make a fair amount. BYU lets you shoot the three-point shot and doesn't defend it all that well. The athletes, the style of play for Alabama tonight really favors them. If you're looking at saying, I think BYU can win this game outright, then maybe that's the side you should go down. But for me, if I'm picking Alabama to win this game, which I am, and it falls within that, you know, 6-7-8 point margin where the fouls will add up at the end, where you're hoping for a BYU 3 to go down late and it gets the cover, so be it. But my handicap tells me Alabama's the better team tonight. The styles make the fight, and that's styles for Alabama tonight. They win and cover and move on.
If you see it, DRS, and you know it, and you believe it, and it is your ethos, you should not be scared by it. So neither team is going to go into this game and be like, oh, my God, we're used to playing games 60-55. We are Drake. Right. We are other very slow teams. We can't handle this pace, much like we had in the very battle of distinctions in terms of the styles between Alabama and St. Mary's in the round of 32. The Crimson Tide won that game. The Crimson Tide covered in that game, and despite scoring 80 points, the total still stayed under. BYU is on an absolute heater. Year number one in Provo under Kevin Young, a Sweet 16 appearance. The Cougars have won 11 of their last 12 games. They have covered in 10 of those 11 victories. The only game they did not cover in their regular season finale, beating Utah by 11 and not covering as a 12.5 point favorite. In these 11 wins, DRS, in their last 12 games, five have come outright as an underdog against the best of the best in the Big 12, and now here in the NCAA tournament, including against Wisconsin in the round of 32 thriller. Both games for the Cougs so far in the Big Dance have gone over. 11 of the last 14 for BYU have gone over as well. And Donnie, you mentioned defense. When you are these two teams, when you play up and down the floor at a very fast tempo, nobody faster in the country than Alabama, it is hard to get into your pure defensive sets to be a stopper of a defense. Alabama now 29th in defensive efficiency, entering the NCAA tournament 36th. Those numbers are ridiculous because last year for Alabama, the defense was not great. In fact, finishing at 111th. That is a large improvement for Nate Oates and the Crimson Tide, who even with a shaky defensive effort throughout the Big Dance last year, reached the program's first ever Final Four. Some more picks for that game in just a little bit. But DRS, the nightcap tonight in Newark, it's the number one seed in the East region. And again, those national title favorites in the Duke Blue Devils. They are a 9.5 point favorite against Arizona. The total 153.5 tonight inside the Rock. DRS, where do you start your breakdown for the Blue Devils and the Cats?
You started with Duke because it's a rare occurrence here. Like we just talked about Alabama, phenomenal on offense, very, very good on defense. And then you say, well, what's Duke's footprint here nationally? How about the best offense and the fourth best defense? It's like, well, where are the advantages on the other team? Well, that's why Duke is so good. There are no advantages. Your only advantage is they don't play well. So when you take a look at Arizona, who's tremendous on offense, top 13 in the country in efficiency, decent on defense, top 28. Against anybody else, that's a recipe for success unless you're going up a team like the Duke Blue Devils. You take a look at the three-point shot, Duke defends it. You take a look at rebounding. That's exactly what Duke does. You take a look at defending the three-point shot. Absolutely. You flip it over to Duke's offense. They're tremendous at rebounding on offense, shooting the three-point shot inside the lane, and making their free throws. There is no weakness for the Duke Blue Devils, but we are talking about elevated competition. I understand the ACC was a bit down this year. They handled their business. Cooper Flagg got injured in the ACC tournament. They still end up winning that. You see Cooper Flagg come back in the tournament. Was Baylor a great team? Not necessarily. They blew the doors off that team. Mount St. Mary's, were they supposed to compete with Duke? No, they weren't. So you are leveling up in competition on a true neutral court site, almost getting double digits. It's almost enough, Ben, to turn the tide for me to take Arizona. But the good part about this is I can't bet this game in New Jersey. I don't have a clear side, and I probably would be reaching. One thing if I could bet was probably Caleb Love just saying this, Ben. If they're going to hang around, it's got to be him that hangs around. And if they lose this game, it doesn't mean he doesn't have a great game either. They go as far as Love is going to take them.
We will talk about Caleb Love and his points prop after scoring 29 in the round of 32 win against Oregon. Because, of course, Love knows Duke very well, as do the Cats. But to the West region we go next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Sweet 16 Thursday, a quadruple header back in the NCAA tournament. Two games in the East region in Newark, New Jersey. Let's fly across country and head out to the Bay. That would be San Francisco, California. That will house our two West region games that we have tonight, including a one seed in Florida taking on a four seed in Maryland. It is the first game inside the Chase Center. That's the home of the Golden State Warriors, who can perform like the Dubs. We shall see. Florida, a 6.5-point favorite, DRS against Maryland. Total 157.5. This game is really compelling. If you've been following along in college basketball, despite the Terps being in the big dance, despite Maryland in the late game three act at theatrics courtesy of Derek Queen on Sunday evening in the round of 32, there has been a lot of speculation centered around the Terrapins head coach, that is Kevin Willard. One, that he was going to leave for the Villanova job. Then he basically called out the entirety of Maryland athletics, saying, "We are a poor university. I need more money." Ousted the AD, headed on his way to SMU. And now yesterday, DRS, seemingly a lock to go to Villanova and be on the main line once again. When he was asked about his job status, completely deflected. And he is doing things in such a strange way that I'm not sure it's not a distraction tonight for Maryland. A supremely talented team, but now they go up against one of the most dangerous teams of the big dance, that is Florida. 6.5-point spread in favor of the Gators. With all the context necessary, how do you break down this matchup?
Yeah, it's the whole coaching scenario is odd. Like, at least in the NFL, there's sort of like a decorum there, right? You knew who the head coach of the Saints was going to be, which was the Eagles offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, for weeks and weeks on end. But there were no questions about it. Kellen Moore wasn't deflecting. Kellen Moore wasn't saying, like, hey, you know what? I took the job. Don't really like it here. It was just like, you know what? Keep that in the background. That'll be settled up once the season ends. It's crazy how these coaches in the biggest moments can be so, so selfish. And I don't care that Will Wade in McNeese State, he was crying in the locker room. He did those kids a huge disservice by saying, I'm leaving here and making it about us. Instead of us at this point. It's horrible. It's the same thing Willard's doing here. Exactly.
No, he's not.
Thing.
No. Exactly, it's very thing. Different.
What?
Will Wade was completely honest and transparent. When he was asked about it at his press conference, he said,
one
yes,
the biggest scumbag
I have spoken
coaches
NC
out
State.
There.
No
one
doubt.
The biggest scumbags.
DRS, no doubt he told his team, this is the plan. Here is what is happening. Here is our mission nonetheless. Kevin Willard has probably told his team 19 different things. Instead of them being the story, the Terrapins get into the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2016. He has made it about himself, who, by the way, in 7 NCAA tournament trips, Willard has made it to the Sweet 16 once this year because of an all-world freshman in Derek Queen and a buzzer beater, despite Nico Medved absolutely outclassing and outcoaching Kevin Willard. The Will Wade scenario is far, far different. And one of the reasons McNeese was locked in for the round of 64 game, because they understood the entirety of the situation. Nobody at Maryland has a clue what is happening right now, and Kevin Willard has made the story his own persona, which is frankly not nearly as large as he thinks it is based on his actual coaching success.
I would rather have my coach Willard doing what he's doing exactly now. We don't know what he's doing, as opposed to Will Willard going, yo, my guys, used you, abused you. Peace. I don't care if you win or lose or if I coach this game, and I hope we don't even win a tournament game so we can
you're
go over there.
And then I'm gonna, saying something completely
and then
different.
I'm going to turn on the waterfalls here. Oh, guys, you were my favorites. I couldn't wait to get the hell out of this dust town here down in the South to get out to some real basketball teams, not you bums in my locker room. Thanks for all the help. See ya. Lose my number. New phone, who dis if you're trying to call. That's what I don't like about it. So, to me, Crab 5,
yeah, that's
reinvigorated.
Not, that's not what happened at
coach
all.
Now. Looking at that's exactly what happened. From the same guy who had an FBI wiretap, paying
opposite.
Guys under the table,
that's
getting fired from LSU. And so,
he
it's
was
the
doing,
same guy. It's
he was doing
MMO.
What they were doing now
same
in collegiate athletics
same
to the
MMO.
Nth degree before it was legal.
That.
He was
who
on the forefront of it.
Will Wade, one of the biggest scumbag coaches I've ever seen in college
fine
basketball.
To feel that way.
Dipping out
but don't
on McNeese.
Lie about what he
McNeese
did with the head coaching scenario.
He should sue him. He should have lied about it. It was all about him. This team finally gets to the biggest
certainly
stage and gets
wasn't.
A win, and he pieces
that,
him out.
Did he that couldn't wait because he led them there. Did you see his reaction after they won?
Drop that news.
Did
yeah,
you see the reaction after they won?
Did you hear him on the wiretap with the FBI? What an actor this guy is. I never said that.
He also
yes,
got busted
did.
For being
this
honest on there. That's why he got
career.
Out of coaching.
His entire career has been a fraud.
Must be fun.
Fraudulent. It is fun. I speak the truth.
All right, the second game tonight in San Francisco, Texas Tech taking on Arkansas. The Red Raiders, a 5.5-point favorite, total 147.5. We will break down the games a little bit later on, best bets, picks, and previews. Hour number two to get you ready for Major League Baseball opening day. That's next with the host of Pro Baseball Today, Donnie Wrightside.